Open up to two places, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and Romans chapter 4. I want to expound a little bit on continuing the thought from Alan's message this morning. I don't know what they'll call that, but it was just superb again. I'm so glad I go to this church because he brought out truth that I've known for years from this passage, but I haven't really taught it because most places you go, you can't teach it. They don't have enough foundation. They just really don't. It's a real famous verse, the one he started with, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. And what normally happens is you read that verse, and then you start teaching the classic lessons on faith, which, thank God for the classic lessons on faith. They have kept me alive until this hour. Now, where we are going in this revival, I understand why the Lord is having really all of us, go deeper into sonship and understanding who we really are in Christ. And that's really what this is about. This is not really talking about, in fact, you could back up a little bit, even these verses, verse 18, 2 Corinthians 4, 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal or temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And again, we've used those scriptures classically to teach faith in the sense of maybe you've been attacked in your body. Maybe there's a sickness and the doctors say you have to die. Well, now, what are you going to be moved by? Are you going to be moved by what you see or are you going to be moved by faith in God's word? While we look not at the things which are seen. Well, what's seen? I have cancer in my body. What's not seen? The word of God. So we teach those things, but really, how did he say that? He said, those things are a fruit of that verse, but they're not the root of that verse. See, he's really teaching on, just picking it up in, again, just verse 7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. He's really talking about the fact we are not our bodies. We are not that flesh creature that the devil keeps trying to make you think you are. We really are. What requires faith is living in this thing and still believing what the Bible says you are. See, if we continue on in context, look at the famous verse he's headed for. Verse 17, just a few verses on down. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That's the inward man. Back up to chapter 4, verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the what? The inward man is renewed day by day. Who is that inward man? Well, that's who he's talking about over here. That's that new creature in Christ Jesus. That's you that got born again. The day you receive Christ and you literally become a different creature. That's a good word. The root of it means creation. It's something that did not exist before. See, the devil even he would accept it if you just thought you're still the same creature, just cleaned up some, niced up some. You know, you don't cuss as much. You don't drink as much. Or why? He just wants you to think you're refurbished, and you're not refurbished, you're reborn. You're a new creature. That word, the best definition I ever saw of it, you are a new species that did not exist before. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. You talk about faith, that's going to require real faith. And I'm so glad that we're going that way, but I feel like the Lord's my assignment tonight, that he was exactly right. In 2 Corinthians 5, and you, really it brackets real big. You'd have to go almost back to chapter 1 to really look at the whole image here. But he is not talking about faith for healing, faith for finances, faith for whatever. What he's really talking about here is faith in the fact that you are a new creature. And I can see that's where we're going. And he's right when he says that is, now all those other things are a fruit of that verse, but they're not the root of it. He's correct. The assignment I have tonight, the title is going to be something like this. Don't lose the fruit while you're going for the root. You hear me? Because it means both. Faith is both. If I hadn't have been taught those fundamental fruit faith verses, I would have died of cancer in 1992. 1990. We didn't start here until 1992. I never would have even made it here because they gave me 6 months to live. And all I had was the fruit verses. So let's look at some fruit. I want you to keep the fruit while we examine the root. We're going to fully explore the root. We're going to fully, I know in this year to come, we are going so far into this sonship and who we really are as children of God. And that really is the root, and we need that. But along the way, trust me, how many of you think the devil is just going to let us waltz in there without being attacked? You better have some fruit in your account too. So let's go back and look at faith in another way. Now this, again, Alan is 100% correct. This passage in Corinthians is not really talking about faith for healing, faith for finances, faith for salvation. It's really talking about faith in the fact that you are a new creature. It's talking about the inward man. You are not that person that the devil, you know, here lately, it's gotten worse. I don't know if it has with you. And I know it's the enemy trying to undermine where we're going. But I'm having dreams here lately of things that I failed in when I was a boy. Disappointments to my dad, you know, things that I did that just, I feel bad 50, 60 years later. But there's nothing I can do about that. Now, do you think it's really the Holy Ghost bringing me those memories? What's he trying to do? He's trying to build in me a failure consciousness, trying to get me to believe I'm still that same little boy back there, that I'm still that same guy just serving Jesus now or something. No, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. I am not even the same being that failed my dad. Now that requires faith. Yeah, I speak like that around my relatives in Shawnee. I'll get slapped in the face, you know, because they don't think that way at all. They think I'm the same old guy, just forgiven. And that's what religion wants. But now tonight, the title will be something like, Don't Lose the Fruit as We Go After the Root, or something like that. So go back to Romans 4 for a minute. Romans 4, even, really, if you really want to examine it, although we use this passage all of the time, for faith for healing, faith for finances, faith for salvation of your loved ones, and it's fine. But the real subject here is not that kind of faith either. The subject here is faith for righteousness. It really is. He's teaching about righteousness. It's very similar to what he's teaching over in 2 Corinthians. He's just wording it different because this letter is written to a Jewish audience who was living in Rome. Whereas the Corinthian letter was written to not non-Jewish people who didn't grow up knowing the Jewish things, living in Corinth. But they're all Christians. This one is really teaching on righteousness. But see, in Abraham's day, he had to believe for something material. Here's a man, about 100 years old, close to it. His wife is about 90. It's already past the way of women with her. That's a real nice Bible way of saying there was no eggs to even be fertilized anymore. We know Abraham wasn't such a hot rod either. Because when that Lord told Sarah that she was going to get pregnant, she laughed. And what she said was very revealing. Shall I have pleasure from my husband again? Tells us a little bit about Abraham's condition. You know, it's PG here. Yet God says, no, you're going to have a baby from your own loins. Now, you talk about having to believe something material. Now, again, the root here is really teaching about righteousness. But the Lord does not want us to lose the fruit on the way to the fullness of the root. Okay? You better hang on to faith that believes right in the face of contrary circumstances. You hear me? When the whole world and the experts and the doctors and the PhDs and the religion and everybody and your friends and your relatives and well-meaning people, when they all say you got to die, you better have some fruit, my brothers and sisters. You better have some understanding of the promises of God's Word. You can have everything that God has ever said you could have. And it doesn't matter what it looks like either. Amen? I know along this path we're going to get attacked. That's how Lily would say it. Attacked. She's at the house right now. She said, I'll tell you, I got attacked, Papa. And you better know how to employ some fruit faith. Okay? All right? So let's look at this. We'll just pick it up in Romans 4, verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Now let's just stop right there. That is the promise to Abraham. I have made thee a father of many nations. When God said that to him, he wasn't a father at all. He had no children. Yet God says, I have made thee. You know how that's how God always talks. I have given you the land when you haven't possessed one square inch of it. See, for us, the lesson is, I have given you righteousness. And you go, did you see how I acted today? He says, do you see my word? What are you going to believe? See, that's the teaching. But anyway, with this, there's the promise. It is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. That's the promise Abraham had. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. That's why we do calling in the lost. Now get this. Who against hope believed in hope. Against hope believed in hope. Don't tell me the devil's never tried to destroy your hope. Ever tried to get you to the place? Why don't you just quit? There is no hope for you. Whether it's revival that we're all contending for. You ever, don't tell me you've not sat here, looked around the room with this small little group and the enemy say, it ain't never happening. Don't tell me that. It ain't never happening. What are you doing here? You're the last fool to leave. Tell me. That's the devil. He's trying to destroy your hope. And it could be in any realm. When the doctor comes down the hallway after doing the biopsy on your chest, and he says, son, we're going to do the best we can for you, but in my opinion, I don't think you have 6 months. You need to get your affairs in order. Boy, I started having visions of my own casket. Visions of funeral. I'd catch myself thinking, at my funeral, I want my girls to play Daddy's Hands. I really like that song. Daddy's hands were hard, but there was always love in Daddy's hands. And I'd come to myself, what are you doing? What are you doing? I was letting my mind go in the direction that the devil was trying to lead me, and it was all based on what I could see, what I could hear, the reports from the outside. None of it was based on the Word of God. And it was designed to destroy my hope. Who against hope? Abraham, in the natural, there was no hope. Even medical science today will tell you a woman that's quit ovulating cannot get pregnant by natural means. A man who has quit being a man. A man who has lost his virility. I don't know how to say it, PG. Okay. It's not possible. It's impossible. There's no hope. When the enemy and your circumstances and everything you can see and everything you can feel and everything you touch and your emotions, when everything lines up against you and says there is no hope, you need to go to the God of hope. Amen. Who against hope believed in hope. Where did he get that hope? From the promise. I have made thee the father of many nations. Goes on a little more. He believed it, that he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith. He just considered not his own body now dead. Now see, I should have had you pinch together. Go, pinch it together, 2 Corinthians 5. Look at this. And neither one of these chapters at the root are really talking about your healing. They're really not. Yet, both of them can be applied to your healing. Don't lose the fruit while we examine the root. You hear me? Because now here, they're talking about Abraham. And he said, he's not weak in faith. Well, we don't want to be weak in faith. We walk by what? We walk by faith and not by sight. So how Abraham did it,
Yeah, if he looks at his body and Sarah's body, there's no hope. But him, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. Look over at 2 Corinthians 4. Look at 4:18. While we look not at the things which are seen. In his case, what was seen? Him and Sarah stand in front of the mirror. It's not a pretty sight. It's not a pretty sight. Him 100 years old, her 90 years old. You want to have a baby, are you? Can you imagine the devil? Can you imagine what the thoughts? They were, you know, they got attacked. Like we get attacked. This is not happening. It's not happening. There's no hope. But Abraham had a promise. And in the Corinthians, the way it's worded, he chose not to look at the things which are seen. Over in Romans, it says he considered not his own body. I will not be moved by that. I am going to be moved by what God said. See, I had a word from God besides what the written word. Sue and I had received a word that we knew was from God back in 1986. I got the diagnosis of cancer about 1990, might have been 91, right in there. And we had a word from 86 that we knew was from God. We first got ordained in another church. And these people had fasted and prayed. And we knew them a little bit and we trusted them. The last line of that prophecy when we got ordained was, "It is a glorious end that I have for you, my son." I know that dying of cancer in your 40s is not a glorious end. You hear me? All right? So I'm going, no! I am not going to die of this. It is a glorious end that he has for me. Now here we bring in other lessons that's been taught here. By these prophecies, make a good warfare. This is why Tim Stemple over and over and over again says, have you prepared your blueprint? What he means by that, do you have your prophecies? Do you have them printed out? Do you have them in a ring binder? Do you have them where you can go read them again? Refresh yourself again in what God has said to you. Maybe they come directly while you're in prayer. Maybe they came through Pastor Dave in a line. Maybe a prophet came. Maybe a three-legged turtle walked up on you on your porch with a post-it note from God on its forehead. I don't care how it came. Do you have it? That's your blueprint. And by these prophecies, you make a good warfare. But you got to walk in the steps. If I backed up here a little bit, the reason I always do that, it says the promise is not only to Abraham, but those that, here, it's in verse 12, Romans 4:12. He's the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham. We're going to walk in the same steps. Well, what did he do? Well, he had hope. Where did he get his hope? He got it from what God said. He got it from God's word. Yeah, but the circumstances were all against him. He chose not to look at those. So we're walking in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham. The doctor said, you got to die, Gary. You got 6 months. I'm not looking at that. I'm looking at, it's a glorious end I have for you, my son. I had a word from God. I had some other words, too, that had not yet come to pass. I couldn't die. Well, I could. I could. If I don't do my part, the devil will take me right off the earth. I'm doing my part again now, if you know, I'm going to know the truth of it. Part of it, I'm not going to let the devil take me off the earth. Anyway. Verse 19. Okay, let's reverse it. How would you be weak in faith? Consider your body. Consider that which is seen. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. I talked bad. I made a mistake. I lost my job. My cat died. I yelled at my kids. Whatever. On and on and on. Pretty soon, you needing, what is it, Prozac and all, I don't know, all kinds of stuff just to make it through the day. And if you're on that stuff, I'm not against that stuff. If you need it, use it till God gets you healed. You hear me? Anyway, that's another whole deal. All right, let's go to verse 19. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. You talk about faith? I don't know anybody alive today that has that kind of faith. Of course, I don't know anybody alive today that God has said that to. I mean, that's quite a deal. Your wife is 90, not ovulating. That woman's going to get pregnant. You got to believe God. You can't be looking in the mirror. Can't be looking at past history. Oh, and I love what every time he reminds me of this one. You know, Abraham was very successful in many ways. He really was. He was well respected. He had, 318 servants, hired servants. He was very rich in silver and cattle and gold. But there was one area of Abraham and Sarah's life where they were a lifelong failure. And that was in childbearing. Did you ever think about that? The one area where God called them, his legacy, was built on the one place where he was a lifelong failure. Does that give you some hope? Sometime God wants to do it without your help. I'm not calling you to do what you're good at. I'm calling you to do what I'm good at. God, that helps me. That helps me. You know, he's not calling me because I'm so good at stuff. He's calling me because he knows, I know, that I need him to do this stuff. I can't do it without him. How many of you plan on healing the sick yourself? Let me see your hands, then we'll have an altar call. You know. How many of you planning on opening the blind eyes yourself? See? Nope. We have the authority to command it. But it's that Holy Ghost that enforces that authority, see? But we know it's not of us. Paul says in that same letter, it's not of us. The excellency of the powers of him, not of us. Okay. Yeah, I love. Can you tell I love this? These passages right here saved my life more than once. These passages, and I know they're the. I know that the way I'm teaching them right now is really the fruit. I know that he's really talking about righteousness. If I wanted to go deeper, and we may before this year's out, he's not really teaching on faith for healing from cancer. But I'm telling you right now, don't lose that part of it. Don't lose that part of it. You're going to need that part. Not that I'm not prophesying he's going to attack you, but I'm just saying I know he's going to attack you some way. The devil's not going to lay down while we waltz into revival on flowery beds of ease. Don't lose the fruit. Don't lose these fundamental, foundational things. They will save your life. And I'm not preaching as a guy with a theory. I'm preaching as a guy with an experience more than once. Amen. I'm standing here tonight without any heart medication. I don't take any medication, to be honest with you. But the doctor said I'd have to take that heart medication the rest of my life. And if I didn't take it, I'd die within 7 days. Because I've got an incurable, according to them, heart disease. But I listened to God over a 2-year span. God healed me of that. Had me do my own preaching. I had to call myself healed, just like we're doing calling in the lost. I had to do it 3 times, 4 times a day. Call myself healed, speak to my heart, call it you. Over a 2-year period that went on, he weaned me off the medicine slowly, but I took the last dose of that heart medicine in May of 1998, I think it was, yep, 98. This is the year 2000 what? 13, almost 14. That's been a long 7 days. That's been a long 7 days. They said I'd die. That one time before when I quit taking it, wasn't even 7 days and I blacked out again on the floor. So weak, I couldn't even call Sue. All I could do was take my knuckle and pound it against the wall, trying to get her attention. It's all I could move. I was so weak. She finally heard it and come back there. But once he healed me, and it was based on these verses right here. I'm not moved by this. I'm not moved by what they say. In the meantime, I'm taking my medicine, but I'm calling myself healed. Heart, you better listen to me. I'm calling those things which be not as though they were. I'm calling a new heart into my body. My pastor laid hands on me and spoke a creative miracle of a heart, and I claim that heart in Jesus' name. Heart, listen to me. You're a good heart. You're going to beat till Jesus comes or until it's time for me to go, but you're not going to stop one day before. I would just talk to it like that. Sometimes for hours I'd talk to it. Sometimes not. Sometimes I just take my medicine, thank you for my new heart, because I was too busy to do anything else, you know. But he told me to make that confession like I was taking medicine. See, if we had time, we'd go to Proverbs and talk about His Word is like medicine. It is. His Word is like medicine to you. See? Isn't that right? And it is. So I'm another one. See, I could give my testimony. Maybe in heaven. And Gary. Against hope. Believed in hope. And staggered not at the promise of God. But was strong in faith. Believing what God had promised. He was well able to perform. Oh, I haven't got there yet. You can tell I've read this chapter a few times, right? Let's look at verse 19 again. Don't lose the fruit. As we're going for the root now. Verse 19. Being not weak in faith. I do not want to be weak in faith. He considered not his own body. 2 Corinthians 4 says, while we look not at the things which are seen. Okay. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet he refused to consider the deadness of Sarah's womb. And he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Boy, the devil works overtime trying to get you to do that. Trying to get you to stagger. How many people have left the prayer center because they've staggered at the promise? Revival's never coming. They may not even say it in those words. They may not actually say, you know, well, revival's not coming. They may never say the words. Dave missed it. He never heard God in the first place. Zana, zana, zana. Whatever it is, but the end result is the same. They leave because they have staggered at the promise. They don't believe revival is coming, or they would have their little selves here. I'm being real nice. I believe it. I still believe it. Stagger not at the promise of God. I've still found more truth in this church than I listened, you know, I told you I started listening to The Born Again Trail by Pastor Dave Roberson, this up-and-coming young evangelist, you know. And in the first 20 minutes of Lesson 1, Volume 1, there is more revelation knowledge in that first 20 minutes than I probably heard in 20 years sitting in a denominational church. I'm just going, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, listen to this. And it just delivered with such simplicity and such, I almost want to say, almost like to a child, where you could just spoon feed and just, I'm going, oh my God, listen, we're going somewhere. I'm not going to stagger at the promise of God. We're going to have that revival, that vision of this field out here full of ambulances and bringing people on stretchers and cots and wheelchairs. And I'm telling you, it's going to be 24/7. You'll be begging for just a little nap somewhere. Pastor Dave, I've laid hands on 10,000 blind people in the last 24 hours. Can I have a 10-minute nap? Well, you can have 5 right over there. Got to come back because the crowd's too enormous. The needs are so much. And it won't just stay here then. It's going to spread. I believe that. I believe it with all my heart. Verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. That's how you stagger. But was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And here it is. Being fully persuaded, not partly. Fully persuaded. That what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Now this was the miracle for his and Sarah's body, and that's strong enough. If that's all that we had, isn't that something? That they actually stood on God's word and had that miracle working power happen in their body to the point that Isaac could be conceived. But then if we was to go on, and I didn't look it up, but later, even after Isaac was born and roughly 19 years old. I mean, he's not a little boy anymore. Then God, but he hasn't had a child. Isaac has not had a child. Yet God had said to Abraham, that promise, you shall be a father of many nations, and through Isaac shall thy seed be called. In other words, it's not going to come through some other child. It's going to come through that one. Then God says, just take him up on the mountain and offer him up as a burnt offering. Abraham, you talk about a man that would stagger not. Now, here's a man. See, Dave, he does this, and I don't think even I yet, I don't think that we really have the impact why Dave does it every time. He says, no, you don't understand. It's not that God will not lie. You don't get it. He cannot lie. And you know how Dave will emphasize that and go on and on? Somehow Abraham had that revelation. He knew God cannot lie. So when God says, offer that boy on the altar, it's in Hebrews. It's talking about Abraham, and it talks about him receiving Isaac in a figure. Hebrews 11, verse 17. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, he offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises, what promises? In Isaac shall thy seed be called. I have made thee a father of many nations. There's your promises. He offered up his only son, his only begotten son, of whom it was said, God had already said. See, if God hadn't have said this part, you'd think, well, he's going to give me another son. I'm going to have another son named Fred or Bill or something, you know. Nope. But in Isaac, God restricted it. He knew, no, it's through Isaac shall thy seed be called. But Isaac hadn't had any children yet, and God's saying, put him to death. Now, here it is, accounting. Boy, that's a good word. Accounting. He computed in his brain. He had to go through some accounting. Now, let me take an account here. God's telling me, first he said that I'm going to be the father of many nations. Then he said that through Isaac, my seed would be called. But now he's telling me to offer Isaac up as a burnt offering. But God cannot lie. How could this possibly work? Oh, I understand. God is going to have to raise my boy from the dead. Otherwise, he'll make himself to be a liar. Okay, God, I'll do it because you can't lie. Therefore, you're going to raise my son from the dead. And did he really believe it? Well, he lifted up the knife. God looked on his heart, saw that it was done. And then he stopped him, says, no, you don't need to do it. I count that as done. And that faith of Abraham, God, you will raise my son from the dead. As his covenant partner, God says, I'm going to use that same faith to raise my son from the dead. Glory to God. No wonder Abraham is called the friend of God. Is that good stuff or what? It's good stuff. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. That figure, that's hope. That's the image that he's had on the inside. He says, okay, I may have to plunge this knife through Isaac's heart, but I have received him in a figure. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. That figure, hope, has everything to do with what you see on the inside. And that's why the devil is so constantly trying to destroy our hope. In every realm, whether it be revival, whether it be your job, whether it be your car, whether it be your kids, whether it be your health, that's why we can't throw out the fruit while we are possessing the root. I don't know what the end title will be. Something along those lines. We've got to stay with this. No matter what it looks like. Now the good news is, here's previews of coming attractions. I don't know it all yet. If I did, we'd already be in the revival. That's what Dave tells me all the time. He says, Gary, don't stop praying the mysteries. We still have things we don't understand yet. Otherwise, he said, if otherwise, we'd already be in the revival. Because it's not like God's holding it back from us. Amen? Keep praying, you guys. Keep praying. Me too. But I can see previews of coming attractions. This faith, this sonship, this heirship, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And I know it's not even then. Jesus himself did no miracles before he was baptized by John in the River Jordan. And it wasn't the water that did it. It was the promise that he made on the inside. When he went underneath that water, he was saying, God, I know why I'm here. I know I was born to die. This is my vow to you that I'm going to go all the way to the cross. I am going to submit to death. But Father, when John raises me up out of the water, that's my faith in your promise. And the promise he was holding on to was the Old Testament one that says, thou shalt not leave my soul in hell, neither shall my flesh see corruption. Well, that's the faith that God saw in his heart. God was watching that and he counted it done. I taught a lesson on that this last year. He counted it done. You talk about the place called done. See, to God, the place called done is not when you get it. The place called done is the moment you believe it. That's Mark 11:23, whether you know it or not. That's Mark 11:23, 24 right there. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe you receive it. And if you do, God goes, done. Just like he did Jesus. Just like he did Abraham. He looks on the heart. And he says, done. That's it. That's why he could release that dominion of the Holy Spirit on Jesus from that point on. That's why the Holy Spirit come and went from that moment on. He is the second man. He's functioning as the last Adam, even though he won't literally be the last Adam until the resurrection. But God called it done ahead of time, just like he did Abraham ahead of time. Calls those things which be not as though they were. I wish there was a church where I could go and be trained how to do that. Wait a minute. We're at that church. And let's just start doing it right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's good to spend time calling those things which be not as though they were. Whether it's your own body, whether it's your children, whether it's your job, whether it's righteousness, whatever. I like walking the floor with those confessions that he gave me. The in him confessions. You remember those? Boy, I'm telling you, that's part of possessing our land. Walking the floor. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am a son of God. As he is, so am I in this world. I look in the mirror. I am changed into that same image by the Holy Ghost. I and my Father are one. I and my Lord Jesus are one. I am not separated from him. I walk in the faith that Jesus has given me by the resurrection from the dead. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. On and on. Pretty soon you're looking for devils. You're looking for somebody to lay your hands on. Amen? That's part of possessing our land. But it comes with calling those things which be not as though they were. Because from God's point of view, they are. He's just waiting until we believe it. Well, he's not really waiting. He has no choice till we believe it. Yes, sir, and I'm going to say it again. That lesson I did a couple of weeks ago, caterpillars can't fly. Wanting to be in revival is not the same. A caterpillar can stand on the sidelines and watch another caterpillar go through the metamorphosis to become a butterfly. And he can watch that one fly off. And that caterpillar can say, I really admire that. I'm going to hang around here and watch some more. But if he doesn't ever himself go through the metamorphosis process, he will never fly. Because a caterpillar cannot fly. Being at this church, watching Dave go through the process, is not the same as going through the process yourself. Pray, you son of a gun. Fast, you son of a gun. Meditate the word yourself. Do this. Let's all yield to the metamorphosis so we can all fly. In Jesus' name. Okay. Hallelujah.